Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this November 23rd, 2022. 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson from the ODC. Always love talking with our friends from there. Right now, we have in with us Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, James. Great to be here again.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And, of course, Taylor from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Shout out to you, Taylor, and the gang over there. Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. Be sure to go to YouTube and type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like and subscribe to their page and see the great work that they're doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I'm good.
Good.
You know, through that busy budget season, life goes on. We're in that holiday season, which, you know, things slow down a little bit from our perspective, from a government perspective, and time maybe to look back, reflect over the year, and start thinking about what's going to happen next year.
We're actually going to get into that a little bit. I wanted to pick your brain about that. But as far as the budget goes, anything news, headlines out of that, anything noteworthy?
You know, not really. You know, the one thing, ironically, you know, we have some additional spending, but due to some, you know, assessment changes and some of that, the mill rate in the county is actually going down this year, despite the fact, you know, we're building a jail and some of those other things happening. But, you know, like you at home, we're dealing with the same inflationary issues, you know, gas for squad cars and vehicles and heating, electricity, you name it. You know, think of the cost of food right now as you're putting a Thanksgiving dinner on your table and figure – we feed over 100 people in our jail three times a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And there's some of those costs that you can do your best to control, but you can't just move away from. They are there, they exist, and you have to deal with it. So inflation's wreaking a little bit of havoc with that, you know, as well as the same things you deal with at home, healthcare costs and some of those others. And local units of government, counties, like those others, our hands are tied because our tax rates, our tax increases are tied to net new construction. And we tend to live in an area of the state where there isn't a heck of a lot of net new construction. So, you know, you deal with it. You can't make more widgets. You can't turn up the production line. You can't generate more money unless you raise user fees on the taxpayers who are already paying taxes. So it's an interesting time of year always.
Is it a situation where we've exhausted everything and that's it? We're just stuck like this?
There's got to be new ways and better ways to do things, and we constantly look at that, you know, both internally and externally. You know, and right now the state's taking a real serious look at property taxes and saying, is that really the way we should fund local government? The answer is probably not. It probably should be a consumption tax of some type, sales tax and others. They're looking at revamping some of those. But, you know, in its current situation, yeah, at some point you really can't cut any further. I mean, I'm always afraid to say something in today's world of political correctness, but you know, you can't get to the point where you say we're going to let all the roads go to gravel, or those people that we have incarcerated, well, we're just not going to feed them, or the police department is just not going to respond to calls anymore because gas is expensive.
You know what I'm saying? How dare you, Lance? Yeah. My father is a road. My dad's a road, and you're not going to no.
Yeah, but that's, you know, those are things that you have to do, yeah. And then you have to find more efficient and effective ways to do that. But it's interesting every day.
Well, you know, certainly when we're in the political heart of that season and everything, you couldn't go 5 seconds without hearing inflation. And now that we're out of it, this conversation is the first time I've heard anybody talk about inflation since the political season wrapped up. But I was thinking it then, and I'm wondering now, and I've done my homework on this topic and this subject. It's not going anywhere. Things are where they are. We can hope and we can see some change here and there. Gas prices go down 15, 20 cents, things like that, little bits and bits. But the idea that we're going to go back to a day where, like, we're going to have $2 gasoline or that kind of thing, like that stuff, the best minds that understand our economy understand that we're going to get to this point eventually. The pandemic just sped things up. We all have done this where you watch TV shows and movies, you see them from the 80s or the 70s. And wow, gas was a dollar or something like that. I mean, that's just the way of the world. If that's the case, and this is where we're at, isn't it a matter of kind of figuring out what we do from here going forward and how we can make things, like, adjust to things to where they are now?
Yeah, you know, to some extent, you know, the inflation you've seen is built in, and you're right, prices are not going to go back down to where they were. They will for some commodities.
Yes.
And fuel is one that actually does tend to go up and down quite a bit, you know. some of your grain prices. Mm-hmm. You know, you see those go up and down. But a lot of that's baked in, and what you have to look at is where you're going to be going forward. You know, you cannot sustain the 8% that we have, 9% this year, in perpetuity. It just doesn't work. Now, if next year it's back down at 2% because of some of the controls the federal government puts in place, that might be doable. You're seeing home prices come down right now. You're seeing it. Part of that, not so much because of supply and demand, but because of interest rates and the lack of available buyers. I mean, you've crushed that to some extent. You know, the interesting part when you sit in a chair like I do or you do, I mean, you get phone calls during the day, but you know, people get criticized often, you know, when they serve in a governmental role. And I said, you know, the way to avoid criticism, you know, is to say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. You know, if you speak up, if you have a thought or an idea, it often gets criticized. And ironically, sometimes those are the best ideas, and those are the things that come to fruition. On the other hand, like anything else, if you're throwing ideas out there, if you're trying things, sometimes they fail. And I think the difference between good governance, bad governance, or those people that you would hope are in charge, are those that realize that if the decision was bad, you change direction. That's the problem with partisan politics. I'm stuck in, this is the mindset of the party, I have to go this way no matter what. And I can tell you often here, you know, we make a decision, we go, yeah, that didn't work so hot. Maybe we ought to pivot here a little bit, go a little bit different direction and see if we can't correct it, really without worrying about what the political fallout will be. You know, it's result-driven. So, you know, that's where we are in today's world.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the meetings you guys have recently had. I saw that you recently had a addressing growing public health challenges, social isolation and loneliness meeting. Susan Smith, Wood County Health Department had this and talked about it. And it's a topic that we talked about with them recently last week. They joined us and we talked about it a little bit. I saw just an opening here to topic to bring this up again and just to remind people about it, especially as we're going into a holiday. Is this something that, and I don't want to look at this as like a board issue. This isn't something necessarily that's a county or a board issue necessarily, but it is kind of not only cool, but it's great that it is a topic that is we're talking about in our community. It's something that most communities kind of just kind of dust this under the rug and everything. I'm proud of our area that we address this issue. We talk about this. Is this something that you guys on the board think of, or even it ever comes up, Lance?
Absolutely. You know, the loneliness, depression, isolation, I can say those aren't a board issue, but those people become either clients or people we deal with in the community, whether that be through crisis management or help elsewhere. So, that drives our discussion all the time. And when we talk about it both at, I'll put on that other hat sometimes, at the National Association of Counties level or the State Association, mental health is one of the biggest issues. You know, right now, if you said, what are the two biggest issues facing us locally, probably child care, as it relates to returning people to the workforce, that second income earner, the ability to go out and make a living, and then mental health. And mental health is a pretty big basket of things. But, you know, whether that leads to homelessness, to crime, to suicide, to some of those other things, you know, it's supposed to be a joyous time of year where you're not talking about it, but it's there. And oftentimes it kind of flies under the radar. You know, if somebody said to me, does this exist? My answer is, not a lot in our community. And then you go out at night or you take a ride along or somebody points it out and you go, yeah, it is there. And we do need to deal with it. And then I'll get that flip side. People say, well, what about personal responsibility? Why are you dealing with it? And the answer is those compromises that you always come up with. Because the end result, if we don't, is worse than if we deal with it immediately. And generally people, you know, just out there in the population, don't see that. Until you see something happen, like one of the tragedies at Walmart yesterday or some of the other places where if you had the opportunity to deal with some of those mental health issues ahead of time, you wouldn't deal with the fallout and the tremendous community cost that comes along with it.
Mental health, it bleeds into everything. No matter what we're talking about, you want to talk about taxes, you want to talk about homelessness, you want anything, it's right there in it. I would CC anybody, any conversation that Sheriff Becker and I have had, where it has been one of the main topics we talk about, because it's such a huge part of the or the why of why somebody commits a crime oftentimes. Not every time, obviously, but a lot of the time. And so many other things it bleeds into. So it's not to say that there's a one, you know, trick solution to this or something like that. It's just one of those things that it, we spent too many generations not talking about this stuff. It's important that we do. My family, about a week or so ago, lost my cousin, my cousin to suicide. And it's something that has never really affected our family. My family has been through just about everything you can think of. We haven't been through this. And I come from my mom's side, Jewish family. On my dad's side, typical Catholic family. We bury stuff. That's how you deal with feelings. You just bury them. I'm so darn proud of my family that they have been open about this conversation. We're talking about suicide. We're talking about mental health and everything. That I can't tell you how crazy that is in this family. It just never happens. And here we are where we're doing it. And I use it as an example because I don't think that my family's alone in that. I think a lot of American families are that way. We bury stuff or we just don't talk about it. And now that we're in a day and age where we are talking about these things and we are doing it in an open voice, very similar to domestic violence or anything else we talk about, we're not talking in hushed voices anymore. It can only, the side effects can, this can only be beneficial for all of us to win from this situation and to pull silver linings from these horrible moments that we experience as a society, as families, and especially going into a holiday like tomorrow where it's all about being thankful for the things we have.
Yeah, it makes it tough when you sit around the table and, you know, it's really special people that work in those departments and deal with those issues. Those people, in your case, you know, became personal. I think, you know, every family at some point, somewhere, someplace, sometime experiences that sense of loss, you know, whether it be sudden that way or not. And, you know, for me, again, it's very difficult for me to wrap my arms around the fact that somebody could be that desperate, that lonely, that would be a solution. And yet the people in our human services department, our health departments, law enforcement, our dispatch centers, sometimes with the calls they get, they have to deal with this. And it, like I said, it takes special, compassionate people to be able to do that. But it does have an effect on everybody, society. Yes. And that's where, when you say, well, why is it government's responsibility? Because it's a spider web. It impacts everybody. And the cost is substantial. If you want to, the cost, the human life, that cost, but then the financial cost. That emanates from that in every direction.
We do this thing in society from time to time. The person that sits there and I hate socialism, I hate this and that. Where's my Social Security check? Where's my? We do these double standard kind of things all the time of where we don't like something until it benefits us. This is a topic where you don't have to wait for it to affect you. These are the mental health is subject matter is something we can all dive into and it. It many reasons, family, personal reasons, there's tons of reasons to do this. You mentioned something I think is really important to this, Lance, and the people that are working on the front lines of this issue need us too as well. Our health departments, our nurse, our doctors out there, everybody that's under that field need to support as well to, from a society, from a community to show that, hey, this is something we back you guys on. We're looking to support. We want to make a better world. We want to make it better for everybody. Talking about these things kind of does that.
Yeah,
helps get there.
You know, for lack of, I guess, a better description, for some of these think tank groups that I sit in, you know, these are extremely important issues. And then the big question you ask yourself is, why so prevalent now? Mm. Did we sweep this under the rug 10, 20, 30 years ago? Did we not deal with it? Or is there underlying factors that have caused it? It's easy to say this is the problem and we can deal with it as it occurs. But we tend to try to dig deeper and go, why? Yeah. Why are we here today? Again, it might be the way news is handled today. Stories quickly get out, not only nationwide, but worldwide. So maybe it's just more visible to some extent. Or maybe it gets reported because newsrooms are doing that and social media broadcasts it. But it seems to me like it's become much more regular in nature. It happens every day. And so the deeper question is, why? Mm. How did we get here? Now, you know, I got a homeless person who's got mental health issues. Well, I can deal with that. But how do all of a sudden we have tent cities, Los Angeles? Gee, some of the places I've been to recently are a mess. And Los Angeles is a mess. San Francisco is a mess. Portland is a mess. New Orleans is a mess. How did they get there? And how did they seem to get there so rapidly? What did we do? What did we either change? Or what happened? And that's what I don't have an answer to. So if somebody out there has that answer, please chime in.
Yeah, we'd love that. I think that especially if you've been paying attention, especially to the homeless situation there that you mentioned, something that my whole life has been in my radar and everything. You're right about some of those cities that you mentioned. They're getting worse with that, and some of the things that are happening there. Again, we fall right back to mental health, and we come right back to that. And what is causing that? Are these, because realistically, the numbers haven't necessarily like overwhelmingly grown or decreased. The numbers have stayed pretty steady throughout our country's history. It's just we have more people. So, of course, there's going to be more of this group, more of that group and everything. But the tent cities, the things you mentioned there, how we're handling the situation, too, is also kind of like, well, why are we handling it this way? Or could we be handling it better? When we're talking about these subjects, to me, there are no dumb questions. There are no dumb, you know, things that we can't dissect and see. Is this causing it? If it isn't, well, then we can at least can check that off and say, okay, it's not this. The only way we're going to fix these things is by talking about them and by, you know, checking off, okay, that's not it. That's not it. We can hopefully, you know, figure out more of an answer.
Well, and locally, I mean, we have great people. If you drive, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of, you know, somebody said, you know, what are you thankful for? What are you most proud of in your community? You don't see a lot of it. And you don't see a lot of it because we try to deal with it early. You know, whether it be the cities, the towns, villages, municipalities, or the county, it exists, but it does not exist in the numbers. It exists in those places. And those places I mentioned are not places that I saw in the news with special cameras or something. It's places I've been. Yeah. You know, I go to Washington, D.C., used to go to Union Station. And ironically, that was on the news recently because there was a press conference held there. But I made the comment 2 years ago, you walked in this absolutely gorgeous station filled with tend to be high-end shops, people traveling, you know, the Acela lines back and forth to New York, D.C. I was in there last winter. Every doorway, let me rephrase that, half the businesses were gone. Every one of those doorways within that beautiful building had homeless people sleeping on the floor. There were needles laying around. There was a homeless encampment outside the building. So it's, for whatever reason, It's a burgeoning problem. And so to go back to locally, we try to address that right away. And a lot of that gets addressed through local organizations. You know, you hate to single them out because you're going to miss them, but, you know, you see the work they do with, you know, the women and infants, the WIC Center, you know, some of that stuff, the HANA centers, the charitable organizations, the churches. I'm going to leave a whole bunch out. But
Mary's Place.
You know, there's all a lot of those. Yeah. All of those organizations that reach out in our community, they can be, you know, charitably based, they can be religiously based organizations, but they handle a lot of these that as government agencies, we don't even deal with. Mm-hmm. So I'm extremely proud of the people we have out there.
I agree with 100% of what you just said there. And you're absolutely right. The way that we handle
it. That's good because my wife will not agree with me 100% on anything.
Somebody's
for the
got
next
it, right? At least one person
that's
does, right. Yes. I just to say, and I'm not countering or pushing back on what you're saying there, I will say that when it comes to bigger cities, your bigger population, every problem is you whatever situation you think here in our area, times that by about 50.
The magnitude is different.
And I get that you get that.
Yeah.
We have laundry and it piles up and you don't get it done that day. And then the next day you got 20, you know, more and more and more. Yeah. And it's the same situation.
Well, the magnitude is absolutely understandable.
But that doesn't change the fact that it's still a problem.
It's still a problem.
It, yeah. It doesn't,
yeah. And conversely though, those cities are that much bigger. You know, so when you see it in a condensed, you know, in a very, compressed area, you go, why? So the question is, and we sit around and talk about this all the time, is how did we get there? How do we change that?
Right.
You know, is it changed through education, you know, at the youngest levels? Is it changed by the kind of education we do? If I had the answer, I'd change it already.
Yeah.
But I don't. But, you know, there's, you know, one of the things I think that we forget to do sometimes is look back at history. And, you know, every now and then, I won't say I read a ton of books, but I'll sit there in just some days and go through some of the old quotes by some of the great philosophers of time, you know, the Aristotles and other people of the world. And you read those, and I don't think kids today, young adults, have a chance to read that stuff. And it's amazing how that resonates in today's world if you follow that advice. You know, and one of my favorite ones, for 20 years, I was the finance chair and vice president of finance for the Boy Scouts in this area. And we had a program called Friends of Scouting. Mm. And it's one of the ways they fund the Cub Scout, Boy Scout programs in this area. And, you know, you ask people to make contributions. And one of the lines I used to use in that for 25 years was, it was an Aristotle quote, and this is not exact, but it was one of those that basically said, you know, eventually you're not going to be judged by the wealth you accumulate, mm. but by the success or failures of your children. And right. I can expand the children to, you know, anybody within the community who's younger. And if I take that and I look at that from that respect, I say, so what are you, you know, I'm going to challenge everybody out there. I had the opportunity to address a group the other day, and one of the things I mentioned them, I said, I'm going to challenge each and every single person in this room to be a mentor to somebody, because everybody in that room was somebody of prominence within their community. And so often, you know, you go about your day's business and you do your own thing, and you forget that you wouldn't be where you were if somebody wouldn't have taken you by the hand and led you in the right direction and provided you the guidance. So I was probably talking to 1,000-plus people, and I said, be a mentor to a group, to a person. So somebody somewhere someday looks up and said, my world's a little better because somebody helped me along the way. And that's where it starts.
Just speaking of quotes, because I love quotes, you really hit me on that one. From Gandhi, a civilization is measured by how it treats its weakest members. And I think a lot of everything we've been talking about today kind of comes right back to that. And dealing with mental health, dealing with any of the issues any community deals with, especially our own here, you've mentioned and I mentioned we don't have the answers. We can get the answers together. The only way we're going to get the answers is working together, is all of us working together and all of us coming up with them together. There is no magic thing for this other than that. We either fall, you know, individually, or we rise together. That's the only way this works. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck here, and me and you next month are going to be having the same conversation.
Well, you know, let's go back to your family tragedy. You know, suicide is devastating to families. But it's certainly not income-driven. It's mm-hmm. not success-driven. I mean, you look around the country, and some of the most successful, influential people deal with these same mental health issues, which is, you know, you think that some of those things that you materially possess might offset some of those other things, and it doesn't. And so as a society, you know, we need to garner the tools to be able to identify some of those challenges and some of those things, because those same issues tend to affect you whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're healthy, whether you're not. And sometimes it just takes somebody around you to speak up and say something. And that goes back to the first thing I said, you know, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. You know, sometimes you just got to speak up.
Well, that's
and help.
I don't like sharing my family's laundry. I don't like doing those things, but I also know that that's the stuff that's good, like you just said. Talking about these things is the only way. For way too long, I'm not talking about that. People might think different thing, whatever. No, that's how we got into this trouble, is by too many people not talking about these things and not sharing this stuff. Again, we're going to get through this together, or we're not going to get through it at all. So working together is how we're going to get a lot of these things figured out, hopefully. And either way, I mean, at the very least, you know, we'll have something to talk about.
As you sit around the table, I mean, we're coming up on Thanksgiving tomorrow, you know, so when you sit around the table, you know, think about what you're thankful for, mm-hmm. You know, what makes life great. A lot of it is family. Or extended family. It doesn't have to be somebody you're related to. You know, I know a number of people who do Thanksgiving dinner with friends because they don't have family there, but those friends become family.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, those are the kind of things. And whether it be people you work with, people you associate with, whether it be, you know, like that old adage, you can choose your friends, you can't choose your family.
Right.
But they're usually there.
We are very appreciative of you guys and our whole board, Lance, of our Wood County, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and everything as well. Appreciate the time as always. And you have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Have a good Thanksgiving, Taylor, you and yours. Have a great one. Thanks a lot for being here. We'll stick around, everybody, because we got ODC coming in here in part 2 of Morning Magazine at WFHR.